Is this thing on? Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Hi, this is Jeff from This Week in Mormons.
I've got a hot mic here.
I'm calling you.
Got a hot mic.
I'm calling you from Denmark. Hello?
Got a hot mic?
Jeff. I'm a hot mess.
Are you? Are you?
On a semi-related note, why did they keep saying, making the joke a hot mess on the new Arrested Development? I didn't get it. I felt that it was an odd choice for a running gag. I've made a huge mistake is funny, but hot mess.
Why can't that be funny? I've made a huge mistake is only funny now because we liked the first three seasons.
But it built upon itself very well. Hot mess is something people have already been saying, maybe. Maybe that's why. Nobody was saying, I've made a huge mistake.
Jeff, I don't know. Everybody who was in Steve Holt's situation.
Listen, I am experiencing the worst jet lag of my life, so I don't make any promises that this will be an energetic.
Didn't you land yesterday?
Yeah, I landed yesterday. This is what happens, though. I can't sleep when I fly because I don't get upgraded to business class like you. So
I don't sleep because I'm in business class. I sleep because I'm tired.
Yeah, I can't do it, though. I can be completely exhausted and I'll be wide awake for the whole flight. It does not matter how tired.
Really?
Yeah. So I was awake for the – also the flight left at like 6 p.m. Eastern time, which is a terrible time to fly because my body wouldn't want to go to bed until about 4 hours into that flight anyway, even if I tried.
But no, that's the truth.
Anyway, I got in, I got here, I was zonked. And then for no reason at all last night, figuring I was tired, I woke up at 12:30 at night, couldn't fall back asleep until 3:45. Don't know why. Because that was like 6:30 p.m. to 9:45 p.m. on my regular clock, so that made no sense.
On your regular clock, Jeff, you got to live in the now. Be present.
I wanted to live in the present. I wanted to sleep and then awake today and feel remotely adjusted to my European surroundings.
How was that?
Well, I spent the whole day exhausted. I had to keep getting up and taking walks. If I sat at the desk for more than like 20 minutes at a time with nothing engaging to do, I would...
Jeff, you got to be an entrepreneur. I just go and take a nap. That's what's great about
it. I thought
this.
About that. We have very scant...
Sure, I'm still working on taxes into July and dying a slow death via our accounting firm. But Jeff, I get to take a nap when I'm tired.
Well, see, that is a big plus. I don't. We have very Scandinavian-looking couches. Looks like they robbed IKEA. And I want to lie down on them.
Go to them, Jeff. I also go to those couches.
I found a big attic area that had some chairs in it. I almost just hid up there because no one knows where you go. But if I would have let myself fall asleep, I would have disappeared for hours on end.
That's what you should do. I feel like that's the right decision.
I don't have that level of freedom. This is much discussion about my fatigue, though. So I'm a little zonked. I'm hoping tonight I'll sleep normally because my dear wife is coming here tomorrow. It's very exciting.
Hey-o. I just hope you get a good night's sleep so I don't have to listen to you whine about how tired you are.
Maybe then I don't have to listen to you whine about how you can't pay your taxes on time like a normal human.
Yeah, that was one time. One time I couldn't pay my taxes.
Really? Because that one time is still going on into July.
It really is.
Ask me how many times I have failed to pay my taxes on time.
How many times have you failed to pay your taxes, Jeff?
None, Al, because I'm a competent adult. That's why.
See, I fail to pay my taxes every year. I'm an extension getter.
See, I see a deadline and I say, great, I'm going to work towards that deadline. That's called a deliverable, and I follow through on them.
To be fair, your balance statement is much simpler than mine.
Just because my most complicated part involves my tithing declarations and then guessing how much clothing I donated to DI last year.
and if I may, I would. I mean, maybe you're able. You have like maybe one W-2.
Yeah, yeah.
Very rarely do you have like a dozen sources of income.
Yeah, I too. You should get an accountant, Al.
I have one, Jeff. He's like a mafia guy. I swear, if I needed to have somebody killed, I think he would be the guy that I'd go to. In my life, of the people I know, he would be the one.
Is he based in Utah?
No, he's based in Missouri.
All right.
There's no mafia in Utah.
Well, that's why I was curious. Well, they have Catholics, so.
Don't they?
Yeah. They do. I've been reading all about Mormons and Catholics lately.
Isn't it?
It's very.
Have you watched that new Mormon Messages, the Origins one?
No. Tell me about it. Have not seen it.
I haven't watched it either. I just see everybody sharing it, and I'm like, oh, I should watch that.
Origins of what? Like origins of superheroes? X-Men?
No, like our origins. Hold on.
My understanding was a 14-year-old boy prayed in a grove of trees.
This is Mormon Messages Youth. It's 5 minutes.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that's how it started. And then things were restored over time.
Jeff, in fact, was the priesthood that was restored, which by then the church was organized.
And yes, Al, we learned this while doing Sunday School Bonanza. 5 years of restoration time.
Yeah, we did.
Just like a bad home improvement project. Are you watching this right now?
I was. All right, anyway. Well, that's great. I'm glad you're in Europe, and I'm glad that between all of us, when we met in 2005, Jeff, who would have thought, out of all of us that were there on that trip, you'd be the first one to get some loving in Europe?
It was 2006. You don't even remember our anniversary. How can you even say you love me?
What did I say?
2005. You don't even know me.
We did. No, that's true. It was 2006. Good call.
I know when we were together.
What are we at, 7 years? 8 years? Wow.
7 years would be the way the math works, from 13 to 6. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Man.
But as you said, I'm grateful that you believe I will be the first one to get some lovin' in Europe. Okay.
True. I would have never guessed. I thought for sure Lauren Thomas, but no.
Well, maybe he has. We have other friends who have since been married, and they might have come to Europe.
They haven't.
And engaged in activities that should only be engaged in when one is attempting to procreate.
Or recreate as a married couple.
Nope. Simply to make babies.
No, Jeff.
That is all.
No.
I
took the celestial marriage course while in school at BYU, and we explicitly talked about this. Also for fun.
No, I'm pretty sure, based on the statements of my bishop. No, he never said that. I'm lying. I don't want to slander.
No, yeah, you should. Fellow.
So anyways, I'm here in Denmark. Huzzah. I'm going to Germany this weekend, so that'll be fun. I'll let you know how that goes.
Where in Germany?
Just close-ish by. So we're going to go down to Hamburg and kind of some of the immediate Baltic coast, just neck of the woods, and make our way back up. You know, I don't have too much time to go too far away. I just didn't want to hang out in sleepy Svendborg for a weekend with nothing to do. So I figured I'd go somewhere.
Attaboy.
It's going to be great.
Attaboy.
I got a company car. Just going to drive down there, hang out.
And your wife will be with you, yes?
Which was
you'll be touring. You'll be touring around like ambassadors.
Yeah, it's going to be great. It's a welcome surprise. She and I had talked about her coming out. But it just wasn't coming together with scheduling and a lot of things. I was asked to come here on short notice. But then it worked out, and I was on a train yesterday, hopped up on the Wi-Fi, and she just said, I bought tickets. I'm coming out. I was like, oh, well, okay.
Dude, what a woman. What a woman, Jeff. You've done really good.
At first, I was a little stressed out and probably not nice about it, but I think that was just the fatigue talking. Because
I love that I know that side of you so well. Like, there's times when I'm talking to you, and I'm just like, oh, you're just being a jerk. I'll come back to you in about an hour once you've had a nap.
That's interesting, because I think about that with you, but yet you keep being a jerk every time.
Yeah, I'm even keel. I am one level. One level.
You are. That's true. I'm emotionally volatile, but you are progressively and steadily a monster. But that's okay.
It's true.
More importantly, I want to know how you're doing. Tell me about your life. I haven't talked to you since Saturday.
Oh, it's really good. So let's see. I went to church for the first time for all 3 hours out here in my new ward.
Why have you been sloughing off before, Al?
Well, no, I went for an hour, and then I had to fly out. And then 2 weeks ago, I went for an hour, had to fly out. And then these last two Sundays, I was back in Missouri. So I was here. And I had options for trips again. I was like, you know what? I've been in this ward for 2 months. I'm not gone. I need to be there. So I went. It was called as the service committee co-chair.
That was quick. They jumped right on that, didn't they?
They saw me and said, this man can serve.
So what does this entail? What will be under your purview?
So in Utah, the service stuff is a little weird. It all feels very cheeky here. Like if I was in some small town in Mississippi, I'd feel like the service that we were rendering was really meaningful. I feel like out here people are just like, hey, do you need any trash picked up? I can we can bring 50 people and pick up trash for a little bit. Like, I just don't feel like there's that much meaningful service to do out here, but it's probably not.
Well, you can either play into that, or I think you have a great opportunity to find meaningful service and make it happen. Don't just accept the dilemma.
I'm going to magnify my calling. I absolutely am.
Yeah. Yeah, make it happen. Let people say that Aldone, not for your own glory, but you figured out ways through the Lord's help to engage in more meaningful service.
Yeah, exactly.
I think you can do this.
So, that's me. And I got the 4th of July in 2 days. I've been at the swimming pool each evening.
Oh, Andy.
Reading my book. Jeff, it's a hard life. I read from 8 to 9-ish every night.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what are you reading?
I'm reading, actually, the Clay Christensen, How Will I Measure My Life?
Oh, good.
It's very good.
Have you read it? No, I never have.
Did you finish the David O. McKay with all that time on the plane and all this time awake? I bet you've had tons of reading.
Sort of, but I got too tired to focus. I've gotten a lot done, but there's still plenty more to do. I had no idea that Ernest Wilkinson and Harold B. Lee basically hated each other. So funny.
Wait, really?
Ernest Wilkinson was kind of a bulldog as president of BYU. And President McKay mostly just supported him in trying to expand. If it weren't for Wilkinson, for better or worse, BYU would not have become more of the mega institution that it is today. Before his time, it was more provincial, you could say. And so, but he and Harold B. Lee just did not get along. Wilkinson actually resigned, like, immediately after Harold B. Lee took office because he knew he'd be fired eventually.
Really?
According to the sources, yes. It makes for a hilarious read. You learn all about...
It's so weird to think of like I don't know, a prophet having that person that he hates. Like as missionaries, we all had that zone leader that we just loathed because he was awful.
Mm-hmm. Sure did. Or a companion, even, for that matter.
Or a companion, yeah.
I had one that was really hard. Yeah.
Sounds awful.
He was a good kid. It was more, what you learn though is that when oftentimes we've struggled to like people, it's more because people come from different perspectives and we don't understand each other. And that's how it was with me. I knew he was a good guy. He wasn't lazy or anything. He was working hard. He wanted to do the work right. But we just did not get each other as far as personality and the way we wanted to do things. And so it led to a lot of rubbing.
Oh my gosh, yes, of course, where else could it lead?
Just lots of rubbing.
It seems like such an obvious escalation. Oh my gosh, Jeff,
that one,
you
is
gotta get yourself together, man.
That one is for free. Enjoy.
You're in a bad place. All right, so
I'm so tired, man.
Let's do a 30-minute show. We're gonna cap this soon. Jeff, let me give you the one. Sometimes when you don't like each other, it just leads to a lot of rubbing.
The wrong way.
Yeah.
Friction. Lots of friction.
Oh, hang on one sec, actually.
Because someone's knocking on your door.
They are.
And you have to answer. I'll just vamp. So, folks, while Al is doing that, let me tell you about the wonders of Trim Spa. I was looking for ways to lose weight and ways that would lead me into a rage or a mania, and I decided to use Trim Spa. The reason I'm thinking about this, actually, is because it came when I was awake from 12:30 at night to 3:45 in the morning. I came to understand that there was an Anna Nicole Smith biopic on Lifetime, and I read all about it sometime around the 2:30 hour, perhaps. And it made me think of Trim Spa and those ads that we had back then telling us to take Trim Spa, and it would make us less crazy and also more slender.
Wait, are you – I'm coming into this late. Are you taking Trim Spa?
Oh, hi, Al. How you doing?
Are you, Jeff?
I was just –
what's going on?
I was doing our new feature on the show that I host that's just called Musings. So you missed the musing because you had to get the pizza or whatever you were doing. And now...
No, there's a man who understands electricity who is here to fix things.
So wait a minute, your brand new apartment's already broken?
Just the light on the balcony.
Ah. Good deal. So we could take us there. I'll press on. Give us some stories. Let's give people the Mormon content they desire.
Yeah, so there's one. There's really one story.
I believe that story happens to be about a Dodgers game.
Well, it could be about a Dodgers
game. Saturday Night Live? Police Radar?
These are all great stories, Jeff. Oh. All very good options.
Oh, damn.
Let's see. The one I'm thinking about is the man who was saving a seat at church, and another man disagreed with his right to save seats at church, and that escalated into a fist fight, and then the other man hitting him with a car.
Yeah, this might be one of the greatest stories in weeks, honestly. I love this.
Well, what's great about it is I think we all have had that time, that Sunday, when you show up and, like, you know, the family of 13 always sits on the third row and they're always there. And then somebody's there early and they like they don't sit. They just kind of circle a little bit until the meeting starts, like eyeing them, like, why are you in our seat? And then they're moved to the back and they sit in the back row and it's like, I hate you.
Yeah, I guess. And, but I've had many times when I've shown up and seats are harder to come by, but I've never felt animus towards anyone about it.
Well, we haven't.
But apparently,
no, because we're normal, sane human beings.
Unlike
Wayne
Dodge.
But, like, there are people that are just like, yeah, I feel like it's more the big family thing because, you know, their Cheerios are still encrusted in there and, like, they just know that place. That's home.
Yeah, sure.
And so to take that away from them, newcomers come and sit there and they're just like, I'm sorry. Maybe you didn't realize this. My name's Ernie and you can't be here right now. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You know what I mean, Jeff?
I like that this actually wasn't one incident. It, like, escalated throughout the day. It started, the problem was, people, there was a missionary farewell and a baby blessing. And this all happened in Plain City, Utah, which is out by Ogden, just so you know. Plain City. So when you combine a missionary farewell, which once again isn't supposed to happen anymore, and a baby blessing, which is only supposed to involve a few people, let's just assume that both parties invited too many folks.
They had over 400 people there at the meeting, Jeff.
Yeah. And so, of course, seating was scarce, which makes, I guess, some sense. But if this were your typical Utah meeting house, couldn't you open up those patented, you know, big doors in the back and just put up more seats?
The patented big doors.
You know what I mean? The
Who has patented
the accordion doors? If you read the accordion doors, there's a U.S. patent on them, and it's a Utah company that invented them. Look next time. Well, if you're using the handles when you're serving people and you're calling out,
and I use those handles,
and opening or shutting, look for the patent.
I will do everything you ask.
Apparently, you can also go on Google patent search and lose hours of your life. I learned that listening to 99% Invisible the other day.
Oh my!
Google patents, folks. But I love this. It escalated throughout the day. Just anger, cars, punching. It's so wonderful. Wayne Dodge. This guy's wild.
So let me read you the exchange. It says there was some seats that were allegedly saved. Mm. Sounds like McKay Coppins here. And there was a disagreement over whether they were saved or not, and an individual sitting there. This continued to escalate throughout the day. Like the argument continued outside to the parking lot, where punches were thrown. One man went inside to clean himself up and returned and was then struck by a car. He ended up on the hood of the car. There's an investigation that ensued, conflicting stories between two men. And then eyewitness account says there was enough probable cause to make an arrest for aggravated assault.
I could never fathom actually being that upset about something where I would want to hit someone with my car.
Yeah, I feel like that's a big jump from, like, I'm really mad to I'm going to try and kill you.
I mean, I was close on Saturday when Radio Shack required my name and address just to return some items, but really, it's just not the same.
I could see you getting livid.
Well, why do they need that information, honestly? I mean, what's that one?
To track what's being returned and what kind of customers are returning them.
Ones who find better deals on Amazon the day after, obviously. But this is a great story. It's hilarious. We thank everyone who's commented on it on our Facebook page, which incidentally is facebook.com/thisweekinmormons.
It's relatable. Like, I know these people. These are people like these kind of guys that are doing this, and they're you got one in every ward. They're out there, and if you have two in a ward, boom. Stuff is blowing up.
Yeah, these are the blessings that come when Zion has breached her borders in places like Utah.
This is, Yeah, yeah. Let's go learn about being Christ-like.
When there is no longer room enough to receive them, this is what happens.
Then you have to beat each other up.
Yeah, pretty much. This is why we should agree to like population transfers to less densely LDS areas. Let's recolonize, man. Say, look, guys, the Ogden area is too densely populated with Mormon folk. So we are going to send all of you to Reno.
How great would that be?
And you're
going to
make the biggest little mistake of your life in Reno. It's going to be great.
I will make it.
In other exciting, scintillating news, folks, sort of an interesting story here. Joseph Smith is going back on trial, and that's according to, of course, Peggy Fletcher Stack. So you know it can be trusted. What this really is about is they're revisiting the Joseph Smith case. He was murdered last week, by the way. It was the 169th anniversary of his martyrdom. And now because of this, the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library and Museum, a division of the Illinois Historic Preservation Agency, and Illinois Supreme Court Preservation Commission are taking up the old case for Joseph Smith that was never really brought to trial because of, you know, mob violence and stuff like that. But what's interesting is they're going to do this more in an academic context of arguing the actual case for or against Joseph Smith, and Elder Oaks is going to be involved here. He's going to come in there and lawyer up. It's going to be awesome.
I actually think this is kind of a cool thing. I would actually love to follow along.
They're going to reenact three habeas corpus hearings that pertain to Joseph Smith.
Which ones?
The three of them. They don't have names. Yes. What do you want me to call them? Molly, Jeff, and Mackenzie? They don't have names. I don't know. They're just...
They're not specific instances. It's just three randoms.
Yeah, I don't know how many times habeas corpus was in limbo with Joseph Smith. I'm not sure about that because the writ of habeas corpus has been suspended a few times because they're also going to talk about that because Abraham Lincoln suspended it, you know, during the Civil War, for example. Habeas corpus doesn't apply at Guantanamo, for example. But so it was the question back then with Joseph Smith whether habeas corpus applied to him because some people regarded the Mormons as, non-state actors, I guess you could say. A terrorist group, I suppose.
How interesting. Do we have any predictions for how these will turn out, Jeff?
Not guilty.
Your Honor. I think it'll be really fun, though. And cool that Dallin H. Oakes is jumping into play.
Yeah, actually, it's not going to be until end of September, but I think it'll be a cool thing to check out if you are in Illinois. I hope they webcast it. I see this as C-SPAN material. This could be wonderful.
C-SPAN. How funny would that be?
Just tune in. Elder Oaks is standing there. If the glove doesn't fit, you must acquit.
Throw the book, Captain Hook.
Did you hear that they are releasing an Arrested Development soundtrack?
Oh, I'm excited.
It's going to have, no one knows for sure, but a lot of the classics. And I'm glad that one of the best will be the full-length version of Get Away, Stay Away, which probably was the best thing about season 4. Get away, stay away.
I don't know that one. I'm just excited for Franklin.
Did you watch season 4 at all? I'm so confused.
I haven't finished. I'm only like 4 episodes in.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm a working man.
You're not a working man. You lay by the pool and read. We've talked about this like 20 minutes ago.
I just read for an hour, though. Well, I guess I should stop reading.
You should stop reading and start inspirational material and watch Netflix, obviously.
Oh, I'm such a... Man, I'm just so bad at these life decisions.
I know, but I still love
it. Anyway, oh, also, big news, people. Saturday Night Live finally going to be aired on KSL. This is the hard-hitting Mormon news that Jeff finds. Normally, like if I found this, Jeff would make me talk about it. But even though Jeff found a bogus story.
It's not a bogus story. It's in Variety, an entertainment publication.
Well, I'm sure it's real, but what's exciting about this, finally... The church's views and stance on homosexuals is softened enough to allow Saturday Night Live, even with their edgy clips and the whatnot and the skits that are all crazy and the hoo-hoo, they're going to show them.
Yeah.
We're going to have the Target Lady. We're going to have great things like the Californians. Yeah.
When did the Californians become a thing? I've seen it before, but suddenly I see it a lot more.
I don't love it, but
neither do I. It's stupid, and it's not that I take offense as a Californian. I just don't think it's actually that entertaining.
It's not that it's because I'm California.
It's not that I don't feel attacked. I just feel like it's just not that funny of a bit, honestly.
What do you think about, like, the church, you know, just because they own a network, should they be telling it what to air and what not to air? I guess because they have a stake in it. I mean,
it's funny you mention this, because I've been reading sections in the book about David O. McKay. David O. McKay was responsible for the whole KSL growth thing, okay? He was very big into media expansion for the church.
His idea was television?
A lot of the stuff was, yeah. It started with KSL radio, and then they branched out more and more from there. And the whole rationale behind this was to produce owned stations that could produce not necessarily Mormon-specific content, but family-friendly content with good messages and stuff like that. So, and to make it commercially viable. And so it's interesting that that's always been the message of KSL. And nowadays, KSL does toe the church's line and pull some programming, like Hannibal or The New Normal or stuff like that. But I have always found it so interesting that a church-owned body will show shows that are racy, that based on the counsel that we receive about what we should or should not watch or indulge in, you could easily see things, these are personal choices, but things that could seemingly violate that or call that into question. And yet it is put out there for profit by the church indirectly, but it's done. I do think it's a very interesting just kind of debate just to bring up, because I don't know. What do you think, Al?
I think if they weren't curbing that stuff, then people would look at it and say, well, but I mean, they don't curb all of it, right? There's stuff they let through.
You could still look at it and say,
how dare you?
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. I mean, you could say SNL. They said SNL has not been not there because of the content. It's been gone because of a sports show. And I believe that in Utah. I think a sports program would kill anything else in ratings. I mean, that's a big business there. So they say that's fine. But SNL, if you watch it, has plenty of adult content that could arguably be more...
The ambiguously gay duo?
Yeah. That could arguably be more offensive than a show like The New Normal, for example. So I do find it very interesting, the mindset that plays into this, is picking and choosing what is and is not appropriate to be on KSL's airwaves.
Well, because I feel like either you just accept everything and then either own or do not own a network affiliate, or... Yeah, I mean, like, I feel like that should be the option. You either get it all in there. I don't know. Sort of similar feelings with like the Larry Miller owned movie theaters and stuff that will decline to show Brokeback Mountain.
Yeah. But that one's a bit different, I think. That, it's like, because I don't know. But the thing with Larry Miller, private individual with his company doing whatever he wants. I mean, this is no different than any other private company doing whatever the heck they want. And the church, of course, is private, but I feel like it is a bit different when it's an institution owned by our faith itself. Larry Miller was not beholden to the church. That was just his personal preference.
Wasn't he?
Well, I do have it on good authority that in a conference call with McKay Coppins and M. Russell Ballard, they had some words.
It was over a saved seat.
In the corner of righteousness was M. Russell Ballard. In the corner of wickedness was McKay Coppins, doing the whole devil and angel on the shoulder thing.
Funny how that works out. Poor McKay. Anyway, all right. So I'm just burning right through this Mormon news, Jeff.
This is kind of sad, though. We missed a missionary passing. I don't mean to sound too glib saying that, but missionary was Siosua Andrew Taufa. That sounds Tongan to me, but you are the bigger expert on those sorts of things. But he was a missionary serving in Guatemala. He'd been there for 18 months. And an electrical accident took his life. He came in contact with high-voltage wire while mending the roof of his apartment.
No way.
And died. And so funeral services were held. Elder Russell M. Nelson actually showed up and spoke at it. John H. Groberg also spoke there. So this might have very well been Tonga, because Elder Groberg, Tonga, you know, makes sense to me. So, sad story. I mean,
That's awful.
This is why the super has to fix stuff.
Wow. That's just so crazy. Ugh. I mean, so much of a mission is about just kind of scrapping it and making things do. You know, I mean, it's your first time really living on your own in a place that you've got to take care of and all that stuff. And so there's a lot of that that's like, I don't know. Like, I think of some of the stuff I had on my mission where you have, like, an exposed water heater electric thing in your shower that's like running, and you're like, that's a bad idea, but we'll cover it with a plastic bag and we should be fine. You know, like, there's sketchy stuff that we all come in contact with, and you just make do with a lot of it. I mean, what a crummy thing to have happen.
Big time. Big time. You hear the tales of bad things happening when missionaries are being disobedient, a lot of which I think are urban legends, but still. But that's just, like, awful. Well, the guy's just trying to fix his roof.
Just in the last 2 years or so, I feel like we've had maybe a half dozen missionaries that have passed away, been hit by cars or stuff like that. It's crazy.
There was the famous story of the missionaries. I think this actually happened in Spain, who they crossed a sign near a beach that said, you know, no danger, do not pass this area. And they went out there and they were swept away into the ocean and drowned.
That's not a real thing.
It might not be, because they taught us this in the MTC to stress the importance of knowing your limits, keeping the rules, even if you think you can handle it, because you break the rules. The other part of that story was that the visuals, people who saw it, attested that the wave itself took on the shape of a hand and grabbed them away, because Satan controls the water, because Mormons aren't allowed to swim, all of them.
Yeah, good call. That's fair.
Thank you.
Let's see. What else do we have here?
Well, I don't.
Elder Holland went to a Dodgers game throughout the first pitch. Doesn't look like a very good baseball thrower.
Well, with the jowls, you know. I mean, what's he gonna do? Just
maybe
his balance.
I feel like if you go to something like that, well, I mean, maybe you need to be in a suit paint. Maybe that's a thing. But good for him.
That's the only uniform he'd be comfortable in. Obviously, he can't perform.
Glad there was Mormon night at the Dodgers.
You can't expect the man to wear Levi's and a polo shirt and perform at his peak level. No, no. You put him in that missionary mall outfit. Come on.
In that missionary mall outfit.
Okay, here's a letter to an editor that I just find to be amusing. This is to the Salt Lake Tribune, and in some ways it is a fair and valid point. The church, of course, has explicit rules about its parking. Okay, it says local leaders, at their discretion, can restrict the use of parking spaces. And usually it says that on all the signs of churches, private parking, no parking without authorization, blah, blah, blah. But in Utah, especially in Logan, according to this author, police officers love to park at church buildings and hide there to tag people with their radar and get them.
Suckers.
And Logan has said this is illegal because it is the church's private property. So now they're almost at the point of fisticuffs to make sure that the police can't use the church. Because the church has written them letters and said, hey, cops, please stay off our property to do your business.
They should just call the police. Oh,
see, that's the problem. This is when the powerful become corrupt. And this is when we need the Second Amendment to ensure that I can protect myself against the corrupt Logan Police Department. In case they decide to squat on my property against my will, in case they throw the Fourth Amendment out the window, obviously.
That's all very good ideas.
Thank you.
Just as an FYI, there was another resignation trek. You remember last year, it was a bunch of people got together that didn't believe in the church anymore and had their walk. So there's 100 of them that showed up last year. I think it was a bigger deal. This year, 50 showed up. Maybe the half-mile trek scared them away. Maybe the people leaving the church are all overweight. I'm not sure.
I believe the overweightness applies both in and out of the church. It is not a defining factor of either group.
Well, that's what I was thinking. Maybe that's more of a driver, right? It's people that are just – all they want is to go on a diet, and they don't feel supported by the linger-longers and the visiting teachers. And so they're putting their foot down.
Listen, I cannot be involved with this body that continually forces me to eat green jello.
I'm not going to be your fatty anymore, mother. And they walk.
And lastly, I guess, the Christian Post. What do Mormons believe? An ex-Mormon speaks out.
What do we believe?
Well, it's okay. This is actually a breakdown from this former member who goes through the Articles of Faith. This person is now an evangelical and goes through it. Usually when something leads off with an ex-Mormon explains what's going on, you take it with a grain of salt and assume, you know, expect the worst, I guess. I feel like it's reasonably accurate explaining what the difference is between us and evangelicals. and just what we believe in, that we don't believe in original sin. We believe in works, baptisms for the dead, a lot of exciting stuff. I like that he makes the point to say that we believe in being subject to kings and president, you know, Articles of Faith 12. And he says, this one's pretty legit. We don't rebel against authority. We are not revolutionary. We may not agree with the leader, but we respect the authority. We hang in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's okay to read. I at least appreciate it when those who no longer want to be affiliated with the church can have, if not positive, just rational and true things to say that adequately represent our own belief system. And that's all I have to say about that.
Well, I like it, Jeff. I like Thank what's you. Happened here tonight. I feel like we've made good choices.
Thank you.
And from the world of Mormondom, don't bother celebrating Independence Day. Wait for the 24th. I guess that's the big day out here.
Ugh, it's stupid. But I get to do nothing because I'm here for the 4th. Guess what I'm going to do on the 4th?
What are you going to do for the 4th?
I'm going to work in an office. Maybe I'll protest.
They don't observe it?
As luck would have it. But what the funny thing I found, though, there's a town up in northern Jutland that does a Danish-American celebration thing. So you go to this town in northern Denmark on the 4th of July, and they have barbecues, hamburgers, American flags, patriotic hoo-ha, but it's all celebrated by Danes.
Ooh.
In just this one area. It's very, very weird. If I were just a freewheeling, free-traveling man, then I would be tempted to go up and see what all the fuss is about. But I think Legoland might be more entertaining, so, you know, trade-offs.
Well, Jeff, we only win what we try to win. Like Wayne Gretzky often says, you gotta skate to where the puck is going, not where it once was. Tips of management from Mr. Jimmy James. So I thank you.
Thank you, Jimmy.
And I hope you have a good barbecue. I am going to have a barbecue as well.
I'm not going to actually have a barbecue. I'm just going to wind up eating open-faced sandwiches and
have some Wiener Schnitzel.
That's not a Danish thing, but thank you.
I thought you were going to Germany, Jeff.
Oh, that's the weekend. Yeah, maybe I'll do something there. Sure.
They have wonderful Wiener Schnitzel.
I hear good
which
things.
Isn't – I thought that was a hot dog.
No, it's a breaded meat thing.
Yeah, it's a tenderloin.
I am excited, though, because I'm going to go to Germany.
Don't you feel like Wiener Schnitzel is misrepresenting the Wiener Schnitzel?
Absolutely they are. And that's why we should
burn them.
Because
they just sell hot dogs. They just sell hot dogs.
No, they also sell corn dogs. And I am saying here, objectively, that corn dogs are one of the five greatest foods to ever be upon the earth.
Really?
Yes.
You're a corn dog fan?
What is not to love about corn dogs? And I mean real corn dogs. I don't mean those Jimmy Dean hot dogs wrapped in pancakes or any of that nonsense.
That's also delicious.
I mean a corn dog when it's good. There are a few things as wonderful as cornbread surrounding a hot dog.
I have to disagree, but that's
Al,
all right.
Have you had the corn dogs at Disneyland? It'll blow your mind.
I've had them. Oh, boy. All right. Okay. All right.
Okay.
All right, man. I'm all right. Jeff, have a great night. Go sleep, man. You need this.
First off, folks, let us know how we're doing. Send us an email at contact@thisweekinmormons.com. Go to thisweekinmormons.com where you can see this, our other posts like Sunday School Bonanza, our Gospel Doctrine podcast, and other things there.
Or preferably, if I may, This Week in Mormons is on Facebook at facebook.com/thisweekinmormons or on the Twitters at twitter.com/TheRealTwim.
Yeah, we love all of those of you who follow us on any of these things. We have a lot of fun on Facebook, too. If you want to stay involved, Facebook's a great place to interact with the Twim army, as we say.
This week in Mormons.
All right, I'm going to go take some melatonin or whatever it is and enjoy drug-induced sleep, I think.
Boy, it's tired in here. All right.
I'm representing Utah.
And enjoy 2 o'clock in the afternoon. All right, buddy.
All right. Peace out.
See you, man.
Bye. Thanks for listening to Twim, everyone. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
I'll take the silent treatment off your hands, uneven. I'll take the easy cynicism, less talking, more reason. Tumble. twisted.